Sit right down and I'll show you where my dreams began.
I'm Michael Dugan, your culinary host, guiding you through the chef's journey. Join me at the chef's table, where you'll experience stories, secret sauces, signature dishes, and kitchen disasters. Ben Hodgetts, in 2016, opened up a restaurant in downtown Seattle called Bar Harbor. It brought people from all over Seattle and all over the world who crave seafood. I'm one of those. I love seafood, and he serves up lobster rolls. He has a famous Dungeon crab roll, New England style clam chowder. And we're here today to talk about this experience and what it's like to own a seafood restaurant. Ben, welcome to the show.
Hi, Michael. Thank you. Good to be here.
So let's start with a little bit about your background. What was it like growing up for you on the East Coast?
I loved growing up on the East Coast, really. I get asked this question a lot to compare East and West, right? And I've come to this. It's something about the people, about the sense of humor is the only thing I really miss about the East.
Okay.
There's great food. Everything's a little older. I wouldn't say that those are things that I really miss about back there, about New England. Definitely a sense of humor, there's a little bit of a know-it-all personality trait that kind of threads through all the people there that I love. I'm really drawn to it. A little sarcasm, a little bit of...
Oh, yeah.
...is just playful and fun and sometimes doesn't do that well for me out here.
Oh, gotcha.
Oh, I was big into pot pies.
Oh, awesome. Okay.
I think that idea of digging through the fridge and trying to come up with something, a lot of bad ideas were in the fourth and fifth grade. Those hours after school, my mom got home sometime around 6. And so I had those hours to, experiment with what we had. But yeah, my family back there, they were not restaurant people. And so I was drawn to it. I have been drawn to all the aspects. I've literally done every job in a restaurant.
Oh, really? Wow.
I did go to culinary school, but I've been a server, a bartender, a sommelier, manager, dishwasher, line cook, sous chef, literally all of it.
Wow. Is this some of this on the East Coast or most of this on the West Coast?
Most on the West Coast, but definitely some on the East Coast. My first job was at an all-girls college in the cafeteria when I was a junior in high school.
I remember junior in high school, I was a janitor at an all-girls private school. That was not glamorous. I would have traded you in a heartbeat.
Yeah, it wasn't glamorous. You got to meet nice girls all the time.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Yeah, that is cool. Did you do, like on the East Coast, did you do any fishing or crabbing or anything like that?
Never crabbing. Did lots of lobstering.
Oh my God. What is that like?
Well, it is hard ass work.
I've heard that.
It is. I never really advanced far enough. You had to get up really early. My uncles, I had a couple uncles who were, up at 3, on the water at 4. And
wow.
I would meet them at the dock at 7. Yeah, I got to pull traps and throw the bugs back. And
yeah,
I was the low man on the totem pole. But
did you like lobster, or did you just, you're working doing that? So it's like, I don't really care about lobster.
I did not like lobster growing up.
Wow.
I wasn't exposed to too many things. And I associated that lack of exposure with not liking the things. And I almost made a conscious decision in my early 20s that I was going to stop not liking things, because there was a long list back then. And I just decided to either suffer through and pretend I liked it until I did, and worked for me. Now I'm in love with Dungeness crab. I'm in love with clams, oysters, all of it.
Oh my God. Yeah. I grew up a little bit on the East Coast and we were clamming. I was crabbing for blue crab and I loved to fish, lived on a lake. And so for me, it just became an obsession at a young age for me. Seafood was like one of my obsessions. And my dad would bring lobster home. He was in the Coast Guard. So he'd bring it home from the boat. You put them on the ground and we'd play with them and then we cook them and eat them. And it was just, oh, was amazing.
I always loved catching more than I liked eating. We did a lot of Jersey Shore family, and the blue crabs down there were big. And we just tie chicken legs to a string and throw it off the dock and pull it up real slow. You could spend the whole day. My grandmother would come home from work and there'd be 30 blue crabs in a bucket waiting for her to do something with them.
Yeah, I loved crabmen. Blue crabmen was a lot of fun because they swim. Dungeness don't swim. You just put a trap down and you pick them up.
Yeah, and it always seems like it's so deep. We were in the shallows.
Right, so you could see them, or you could see, like, for people that are listening, when you crab for blue crab, you tie a string, you tie a chicken leg to a string, and you throw it out in a couple feet of water, and the string starts moving around. You got to get a net, and the crab is like swimming. These blue crabs swim, and it's really exciting, but they're also fast, and I almost lost a finger. They're a lot of fun, but you just have to be very careful. So you were in Portland, right? Is that where you grew up?
Yep. Grew up in Portland, Maine.
And then what happened from there? How did you get from Portland to the West Coast?
My dad lives here still. I took off and went to Europe for a couple of years after culinary school. And when I came back, I was penniless. Portland, Maine seemed a little small to me after living in kind of big cities in Europe for a couple of years, and mostly in Prague. I lived in Prague.
Oh, wow.
Seattle, honestly, was the only place I could go with no money and have a place to stay for a little while till I got on my feet.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Not anymore. Oh my God.
He's up in Snohomish, but but yeah, so I came out, stayed with him and started hunting for jobs and stuff. And then he lives on some great property. And this actually ties into my story, but my uncles put together this box and they figured out a way to ship 50 lobsters.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah, cool.
Live lobsters. They were basically like a six pack of beer where, except it had 48 slot.
Oh my God. That's awesome.
Put all these pound and a half lobsters tail down, claws up, and then cover it with seaweed and mail it out. And we would throw a huge lobster boil up on my dad's property.
Wow.
We did that every year for a few years. And that turned into a catering business, which turned into some other things. And it just grew from there.
Wow. My brother tried to ship live lobster from Boston. He didn't quite have it figured out. They showed up dead and it was like...
Oh, he tried to pack it himself?
Oh, hell yeah.
Because most of those seafood shops will pack it for you. And again, my uncle was he's a professional. You know, he knew what he was doing.
I think he got him off the boat because he has a cottage in Maine. So he would buy them from the local lobstermen. And I don't think they had any packing stuff. Kind of figured it out, but didn't quite work.
Wet newspaper and seaweed. A couple ice.
But he'd bring them on the plane. He'd bring them on the plane that day. And oh my God, it was so great when he came to visit with lobster.
Oh, when it did work. Yeah, we would do that. We'd bring Dungeness crab from here when I'd go back to visit my family and then bring lobsters back home when I'd back here.
Honestly, I think you're like me. I can't decide whether I love Dungeness crab or lobster more. My wife would roll her eyes because she knows how much I love lobster.
Well, I've decided.
Yeah, I know you have.
I know I'm not supposed to say it.
And which is it? All right, you don't have to. We'll just leave them in suspense. But I've also tried like stone crab, and that is amazing out of Florida.
Yeah, my in-laws are in the Keys, and we go down and pull stones all the time. They're great.
That is incredible. I could not believe.
Seems like a lot of waste is the only thing, because, I mean, they are just claws.
And it seemed like really expensive until I understood that it was just the claw.
Because there's not a lot of extra weight, because you're just buying the claws, which is really good meat.
And I love king crab too. So I love all crab and lobster. I'm not a big fan of Caribbean. I'm American lobster all the way. Most people are.
No, I can't even.
Different flavor. Anyway, as you're moving on, so you moved to the West Coast and then you got your hands into the restaurant business. How did Bar Harbor evolve?
So I had this almost a business plan. Now that I know what a business plan is, I don't think it wasn't one, but I at the time thought it was. And I had this business plan. It was supposed to be in a little corner shop in Pike Place Market where we treated Dungeness crab the way lobster's treated in Maine, where it is not fancy. It's almost picnic food. It's just, it's expensive because it is what it is and the market determines the price, but it isn't gold leaf kind of food. It's put into a white bread split top bun. But I always wondered why was there not a Dungeness crab roll out here? So honestly, Bar Harbor started because of wanting to introduce a Dungeness crab roll.
Oh, wow. I didn't know. That's amazing.
And do it, you know, the bread is the, I think, the most important
Oh my God, right?
Getting the bread right and the, you know, toasting it the right way. And because I think there were some places that sold things called crab rolls, but in my...
I've had soggy ones and I'm telling you, it's just, it's the worst.
Yeah. And in my snobby opinion, they're not crab rolls. That's what I wanted to do. That was the impetus. And then, yeah, this company came along. I was building this building and they actually wanted me to open a wine shop in the space where Bar Harbor is now. Based on the wine list at the restaurant where I was the sommelier, Matt's in the Market, I learned a ton about wine there and got really into it. And they thought that I'd be a good wine shop owner. And I looked into it and started developing a business plan. And the more I thought about it, I was like, let's have just a little bit of food. Maybe I'll sell Dungeness crab rolls at this wine shop. It just kept going. And then the wine kept getting pushed back and the food kept getting pushed forward. It became a lot more of a bar and restaurant than a wine shop.
Love Bar Harbor. I work in the building. I come from work on my way home and I'm just craving your food. It's so hard for me to get in the elevator and go home. I'm like, I want a lobster roll tonight. I want a crab roll tonight. And I get home, my wife's like, did you bring it?
Really? That's great.
Oh yeah. Sometimes I do and sometimes I don't. It's every once in a while, I'm like, oh my God, I'm just craving it. I love your crab rolls and your lobster rolls. Your lobster just seems like it's so fresh and I have no idea what the secret is. I've had lobster where it just, it's okay, but it feels fresh.
It is literally the same product that I worked with in restaurants in Portland, Maine.
Wow.
Absolutely. It comes in these 2-pound packs. We can't boil lobster. We get lobster meat.
Sure.
The same 2-pound packs that we got at every restaurant I worked in Portland, we have them shipped and we bring it in at least 3 days a week. And yeah, I'm certainly challenging at the beginning, but it's pretty dialed in, obviously, after this many years. But yeah, at the beginning, it was hard to find a place to hold it for me. And the same thing with the bread. It was hard to find a baker. And I wasn't sure we could do it on our, we could make our own bread at the restaurant. I wasn't sure if we could keep up or if it has to be you every day, then you're getting there at 3 a.m. to make bread. And I don't know how you do the rest of owning a restaurant if you're
right.
If you're there that early. Yeah, we got turned down everywhere we went except for one place. And then they were amazing. They kept making sample after sample. And
wow. Do you want to give a shout out to them?
They are no longer around. It was a very, yeah, it was a, it's kind of a great story at the beginning and then a horrible story later on. The owner passed away. They were down in Kent and they were fantastic. You call it in the night before and they would make as much or as little as you want, different sizes if you needed sliders or half rolls and things like that. Down to the wire. It was probably 6 days before we opened that we finally got the recipe down and signed a contract with them. But
so what do you do now?
Receive $10 off your next purchase with Voices for Chefs 10.
You don't know what to make for dinner again? You want to explore new cuisines, but you don't have time? What if you have new inspirations and we provide you with the ingredients and recipes? We know you want to travel, learn new foods, explore the world, but life's responsibilities keep getting in your way. What if you can bring those experiences to your home neatly packed into a box? Leedy Boot Collective is a subscription service that finds real people from around the world to create beautifully curated assortments of recipes, ingredients, and cultural content. Not only do we include cultural ingredients, but also a set of detailed recipe cards with instructions on how to use them. Each box also has a QR code that, when scanned, takes you to tons more global exploration to immerse yourself in. Everything from film to lifestyle, art to history, it all can be found here. Live your life to the fullest. Subscribe now and don't miss out on the next cultural adventure. Leedy Boot Collective. Always exploring.
Now, Macrina, who I'm sure you're familiar with, the bakery, they provide most restaurants in Seattle with, they're fantastic. But it was an item that they didn't have in their inventory when we opened.
Yeah.
But since we proved that we were going to stick around, order enough, I guess, is the, you know, that we were good for buying enough rolls every week. We're able to work with them and have it daily. And we just trim them up a little bit because they have different pans than the ones that we were working with before.
Well, I've had them and they're just delicious. I had, I think I had 2 last week.
Yeah. I've seen you in there a couple times recently. Yeah.
Twice. I had both Dungeness crab because you recommended it. I was like, oh my God, I love Dungeness crab. I'm obsessed with it.
I think that's the only thing my wife has ever had there is crab roll. Every time she comes in, it's crab roll.
I've had the crab sandwich too, and that's really good. And the chowder.
Oh, that crab cake.
Mm-hmm. The crab cake sandwich is delicious.
Chowder is a little bit of a thing. It's different style. Different.
Yeah, it's not very thick, which is better, which is New England style more, I think.
No roux. It's just a, we don't start with a roux.
Right. Potato thickened. Yeah, that's a key, I think. And the flavor profile is really good. I can taste saltiness of it. So it feels very fresh to me. And I appreciate that as a chowder lover. But so tell me a little bit about Brian, because he's the one that really connected us. And I've talked to Brian so many times and I love Brian. And who is Brian?
Brian he's the manager. He runs everything day to day at Bar Harbor. I have become more of a shopper and Brian handles staff and all of that kind of stuff. And he carried the restaurant through all of the pandemic time. I owe a debt of gratitude to Brian, like you wouldn't believe.
He's going to hear this, I'm sure.
He will now.
I love Brian. I come there for him. I really enjoy him.
Literally, sometimes you read reviews. Every review, whether they talk about the food or not, says something about the staff and it's and how good it is. And it's such a source of pride for me.
That's awesome.
Yeah. A lot of that stuff is going in a different direction at a lot of places. You know what I mean?
Right.
And yeah, he's just the right amount of he's super charming and funny, professional when he needs to be. And
we've talked about it a lot. And
make sure you let him know he's not ever allowed to leave.
Yeah. All right. I will tell him that. I'll harass him a little bit. He introduced me to Sarah Munson and she had an amazing story. Oh my God. About creating a cookbook when Governor Jay Inslee shut everything down. All these cooks and chefs got together and she collaborated with them.
I remember.
It was amazing. Just amazing. He connected me with her. We had a great time. As we move on, what was it like for you during the pandemic? How did your staff react? That must have been just, what the hell happened? All restaurants in Washington shut down for weeks. All restaurants around the world, all of hospitality just closed except for takeout.
Even takeout for a little while.
Yeah, that's nuts.
There was nothing for at least a month, but March 11th or March 12th that year was, you're just standing in there and then all of a sudden everybody's on a schedule for the next day to time it to come in alone and just take all the food home. I go in and pack it all up and everybody takes the food home. It was just as awful for me as it was for everybody when it was time to start thinking about coming back. We came back a little early because we have that huge outside space and we were able to put that to use where nobody came into the kitchen. The kitchen was basically closed, just the two chefs who were working on opposite sides. We were able to pump food out, let people sit out on that deck or take it to go or just pull up on Fairview Avenue and we'd bring it to the car, that kind of thing. Brian really spearheaded that whole thing. It was great. I had four or five people who all wanted to work as much as they could. We were real adamant about keeping it masked up, even on the deck, and trying to make everybody feel as secure as possible. I don't tell a lot of people this. We went on a vacation at Christmas time, my family, my son and my wife and I, and we went to Maui, and we had gotten really close with this family that we've stayed with a couple of times. They decided they weren't going to or couldn't place anymore, so they decided to just stay. And we ended up staying 4 months as a family bonding thing. It was amazing. My son was going to school online. My wife was working from home. The restaurant was closed. And with the time difference there, it was pretty amazing. I know this isn't about my trip to Maui. By 10 a.m., his school day was already over because of the 3-hour time difference. During that time, Brian and Leroy, who was the chef at the time, those two just put it all back on the tracks. And
yeah,
they were stayed in touch and had Zoom meetings like everybody else. But that was basically my input, was to have Zoom meetings with those two. And I just followed their lead. And, you know, I gave them the run of the restaurant and they just took it and ran with it and turned it into something awesome. It was great.
It's a good story.
We killed it for a little while because we had enough space where people could come, and Brian's, you know, knowledge of local beer and stuff like that. We have just a killer beer list there.
Oh, wow.
It was just a kind of an amazing time for me to watch those guys get to work, you know, continue to work. And I don't know, it's a hard thing, I think, for a restaurant owner to just let somebody else take the reins.
Yeah.
And it sounds easy, but honestly, it's not. And it was very rewarding.
it's good that you got to take some time, because I remember in the restaurant business, I barely took vacation and I always felt still like I was working. So you got time to decompress. That's incredible.
It was still a very stressful time, even on Maui, right?
Oh yeah, I'm sure.
You couldn't really go anywhere. You were still keeping distance, but
right,
the island was at 20% tourist capacity. And so a lot of have your own section of the beach. You could still be outside when it was winter in Seattle. And it feels elite to be able to say that I did that.
What would you say has been the most memorable experience being a restaurant owner?
Oh, I think the opening of the restaurant, those 3 months leading up to opening the door of your first restaurant are good and bad, but certainly memorable. Certainly just like everything is ratcheted up to 10.
It
was just diving into projects that I never thought I'd know how to do and taking things apart and building things that weren't necessarily my forte before. And then you see it come together with branding, and all of a sudden you have this logo that is you through and through, right? Like it's a really intense time.
That's pretty cool.
I think if I did it again, I don't think it would be nearly as intense. I can answer questions that I had no idea how to answer before. There's a lot of just throwing caution to the wind and hoping that one is maybe the right answer. Or my family didn't see me for weeks at a time. They weren't used to that either.
As you're going along, now you're making me think of this. When did you feel like you were successful? Was there a time with Bar Harbor where you felt like, okay, I made it. I actually made it. I don't have to think about all these things that are going on, but I've actually become successful. I've done it. Because you have.
I think there were two, and one is just, I don't know are we even post-COVID, but somehow like whenever somebody mentions that you made it through to the other side of that, that was such a terrifying big deal for businesses and restaurants on the news constantly. So that was definitely one of them. Feeling successful again was cool to have a second time. I think the first time was at the end of in the middle of our first summer when we finally hit like a target number of guests served. Right. I don't know why this is triggering this memory, but on the day that we had our friends and family, this is a really pretty funny short story. Friends and family, a couple of people walked in off the street that were not invited, and they sat at the bar and at the oyster bar over the kitchen. We served him. He wrote a review. This guy wrote a review.
Oh,
at 5:30 p.m. on the first day we even let family into the restaurant, and it said watered down chowder in prison style bowls. I give this place 6 months.
Oh my god.
You know, at that time you would read, you know, on day one, day three, or whatever, you're reading every review to see what anybody would say. That was a pretty intense feeling. So I guess when we made it 6 months, that was a little bit of a feeling of success as well.
Got it. You have great reviews. I'm in Seattle foodies and people rave about this Bar Harbor.
They're very good. And like I said, they all mention the staff.
Okay. So the last thing is, if you could impart wisdom on your younger self, what would you tell yourself about owning a restaurant?
That everybody is right. It's as hard as everybody tells you it's going to be, or everybody said it would be. Stop acting like you know so much. And that, I think people are right. Yeah, these people just didn't know what they were doing, and I know better.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah.
It doesn't matter what you know. It's going to be hard, and it's going to be super rewarding later on. You really have to put time in. It doesn't ever just click for somebody. It doesn't just work for somebody.
I have to agree. I spent 10 years in the restaurant business, and there were a lot of times where I thought I knew more than somebody else, but I challenged him a few chefs, but I would always listen and be open-minded about it.
Well, I had many days in that first year and a half that I came home to my wife and said, I just want to go work for somebody else. I miss being able to just turn it, clock out. People push you to keep going. There's a lot of good things, and it doesn't ever seem glamorous or glorious.
Yeah.
It's so rewarding now, having your own schedule and being able to have a good enough staff in place where you can just come in and put the details together, whether it's putting out little fires or fixing things and just making things just a tiny bit better and easier, as opposed to
Yeah, having to
I get it. Do it all.
So the last thing is, how do we find you? If I'm coming from out of town, how do I find you? And where do I find you?
We are Bar Harbor Bar, Bar Harbor Seattle on Instagram. Bar Harbor Bar is the website. Closed on Sundays right now, but we're open every day, 11:30 to 9 p.m. We got happy hour every day from 3 to 6.
That's awesome.
$2 oysters. It's always something. You get these $5 crab cake sliders that are killer. They're really good.
I'll have to come down after work. I love crab sliders.
Yeah, don't get in the elevator.
Yeah, I know. Oh man, it's so tempting every day, but I can't do it every day.
Any other announcement type of thing? I feel like we, sometime in April, the deck opens, and that's a major time for us. All of a sudden, we have to hire 4 new people, and it's probably 3 times our capacity with the same size.
Oh, the regular. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The regular restaurant.
Same size kitchen, same kitchen staff. And all of a sudden, we have 3 times the amount of chairs. So that's always a exciting transitional couple of weeks for us till we get our feet underneath us.
Yeah. And from the customer side, the deck is great. It's a real communal thing. You meet people from Seattle and everybody just sits down. It's almost like picnic table style. I love it.
Yeah. It's picnic food. I mean, I really feel like my restaurant is picnic food. It's high-end picnic food.
Well, Ben, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Oh, my pleasure. This is great.
Thanks for joining us today. Follow us on Facebook. Find our website in the show notes. Subscribe on Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen. Leave a comment with 5 stars and stay tuned for the next episode of Voice for Chefs.